Welcome to episode number 61, Highly Effective People.
This is the Rotated Views Podcast with Jimmy Lee and the crew, giving you life from various perspectives. Welcome to our level. We hope you enjoy the views.
All right, you are now tuned in to the Rotated Views Podcast. I am your host, Jimmy Lee Velez. I'm here with Heck and Gabe. A little short-staffed, but we are, since we are highly effective people, we're going to roll with this one. The title of this one is Highly Effective People. In this episode, we review Stephen R. Covey's classic book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Covey presents a holistic, integrated, principle-centered approach for solving personal and professional problems. Covey reveals a step-by-step pathway for living with fairness, integrity, honesty, and human dignity. The crew discusses their take on each habit, including their strengths and weaknesses for each one. We wrap the episode up with quotes from the author himself, Stephen R. Covey. All right, so if you are new, thank you for joining us. Don't forget to download and subscribe. We drop a new episode every Tuesday morning for your listening pleasure. Thank you once again. We kick things off with a definition from dictionary.com. And since we're highly effective people, we have defined the term effective. And they define it as adequate to accomplish a purpose, producing the intended or expected result. So, we are doing a book review, obviously, but it's not necessarily a book review. This is a very classic book in business and personal development / self-help. The categories, you know, this was written, I believe, in the 80s, the late 80s. So this guy is basically a staple in the industry as well as this book. He actually does have a book titled The 8th Habit, but I didn't want to get into that because there's a lot of material to cover in just this one book. With that being said, I wanted to kind of go over, I love doing this, the praises they give books, since this is a, you know, a New York, you know, bestseller or whatever. So, you know, the habits, the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People has sold over 10 million copies. And according to Scott DeGarmo, is destined to be the personal leadership handbook of the decade. Here's a little praise this book received from the industry's top impact players. It says, Stephen Covey is an American Socrates, opening your mind to the permanent things, values, family, relationships, and communicating. That was by Brian Tracy, so that's huge coming from him. Warren Bennis, Stephen Covey has written a remarkable book about the human condition, so elegantly written, so understanding of our embedded concerns, so useful for our organizational and personal lives, that it's going to be my gift to everyone I know. And I'm going to assume it's a former Senator Jake Garn. We would do well to make the reading and use of this book a requirement for anyone at any level of public service. If it would be a far more effective than any legislation regarding ethical conduct. Again, so these are some heavy hitter people giving this book praise. So if you never heard of the book, I highly recommend it if you want to be an effective person. This has nothing to do with, you know, oh, this is, here goes another book on how to make money. And that. No, this is a personal development book that literally you would, will have a paradigm shift after reading it because of the material, the content, that is actually revealed inside. I'm going to use that word strategically because this was something, you know, you were talking about in the 80s. You're talking nearly 30 years ago. And what is fascinating about with these powerful lessons in personal change is that they are timeless. Yeah, here we are in 2017, right? 30 years later, and we're talking about them. And if you read this book, you can still be an effective person by the, you know, the lessons contained in this, you know, this book here. So I don't know. It's just amazing to me. And that's the reason why I love the personal development book, because I can leave my library to my son. I can leave my library to my kids. Because it's something that is timeless. They're going to learn education, of the own mind and knowing thyself is everything. That's the foundation of moving forward. you know, we always talk about get obsessed with progress, not perfection. And this is one of those things. With that being said, let's jump right in. And the first habit that Stephen R. Covey discusses is be proactive. So I kind of gave like a little, you know, overview. And it says, because of the unique human capacity of self-awareness, we can examine our paradigms to determine whether they are reality or principle-based, or if they are a function of conditioning and conditions. So he says, stimulus with an arrow, freedom to choose with an arrow, response. So being proactive is one of those things that's basically, we have the ability to see how basically we're interacting with the world around us, right? I mean, no other animal, not that we know of, or maybe they do know of, I don't know of, that can actually have this like self-reflection kind of thing.
Because obviously animals is nature. It's nature to their DNA, whatever it is.
Right.
We actually have the ability to reflect, like you said, reflect back and actually analyze what's going on and I guess make progress towards like different changes and stuff.
So you could basically like step out of yourself, so to speak, and then look and examine. Let's just say you went through a specific situation, whether it was at your job or a relational thing or a financial thing that maybe you weren't too crazy about the outcome. Mm-hmm. You can step back, then analyze it and see what the key players were, what the stimuluses were, why something went in a direction that you didn't necessarily want it to go.
Exactly.
And you can analyze that and then improve upon that.
Reevaluate. And
Or make it worse.
Well, that's true.
Because a lot of times when we reflect, we think that's some level of improvement. But we could also reflect and then make change for the worse. So I don't know. That's a level of self-destruction, but... Yeah. A very light level, but it's out there.
But I guess it could be inadvertent too.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Sometimes we don't know all the answers, and that's part of the learning process.
Absolutely.
So here's the thing. Yeah. When we're reflecting, we're trying to look towards something to then get a different result.
Yes.
Not saying the next time this happens and we change the way we reacted or the stimulus. Doesn't mean it's going to be better. Yeah. It just means that it's different because we're trying something else.
No, absolutely.
Stimulus, freedom to choose, response. I like this. Stimulus, freedom to choose, response. So something, let's just say it's something someone says to you. Mm. You have the freedom to get offended by that, or you have the freedom to kind of let it,
Let it slide off your back.
Let it slide off your back. Yeah, exactly. I love the freedom to choose because a lot of times, I interact with a lot of people when it comes to, obviously personal development stuff.
Yes.
And there's a lot of pointing fingers and blame game stuff, which some people have legit valid points as to, that's the direction that, their thinking is going. Yeah. But 95% of the people, it's just not. It's just how you reacted, whether you like to hear that or not.
Yeah.
No, you know what I mean? Sometimes it just kind of hurts to hear, oh, well, that's because that was your thought process. That's the reason why basically X, Y, and Z failed.
And so we always go back to that example of like, you always say like, oh, when you're stuck in traffic, it's, somebody could be jamming the car, but the other person could be screaming their head off in their car. But it's the same exact situation, but it's all how the perspective and the response to the particular set of, circumstances that how you take that.
Exactly. So there you have it. Habit number one, be proactive. Is this not good? This is 30 years ago. This knowledge was dropped, All right, habit number two, begin with the end in mind. He says, begin today with the image, picture, or paradigm of the ends of your life as your frame of reference or the criterion by which everything else is examined. This is classic, obviously. Absolutely. I'm sure that's not, that's not a groundbreaking, but yes, that's a habit though, and a highly effective person. They have a goal set in their mind. We talk about goal setting all the time. I'm not going to sit here and go over that again, but I'm just saying successful people have goals. They know where they're going. Now, this is where a lot of people get confused. Well, I'm not 100% sure where I want to go, but that doesn't mean, and here's where the mess up comes. So then they don't set a goal.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean not set a goal. There are so many times where I set a goal and I had to adjust. Yeah. Along the way, during my journey, I adjusted my goal. It's not just, it's like, just because I said what I was going to say I was going to do when I was 14, and here I am 30 years old, and I have to still stick with that. As long as I'm improving upon it, yeah, and not like weakening and like lessening my, you know, whatever.
Take smaller goals within that. Like make them
exactly
so that you get there.
Exactly. Whatever it is, these, what we talked about 2 weeks ago, is like small digestible goals.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. So the first one was proactive. The second one was begin with the end in mind. I love also that you're beginning with the end in mind. It's almost like a play on, but your vision, it keeps these highly effective people in the thought process of why you did it. Because a lot of times when we're on this journey, we get so busy with the everyday mundane stuff that we forget what in the world we're doing this for.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you can begin each day with the end in mind, you know why, then you know why you're doing it. And you could truck through and plow ahead.
Yeah, and it keeps you engaged, like you're saying. And it, like I said, you have the smaller goals in mind. At least it shows you have little successes along the way. It's not just like, I've been doing this for a year and I can't, you know, it's not going to happen or whatever.
Yeah.
So at least it gives you the little bits, little successes along the way.
Exactly. So there you have it. So begin with the end of mind. And number one was proactive. Number three, put first things first. Habit three is the creation, the physical creation. It's the fulfillment, the actualization, the natural emergence of habits one and two. So it's the beginning, being proactive, and your vision, but the end of mind, is habit number three, with put first things first. This also goes back to what I was kind of saying earlier, where we can get busy with like with busy work.
Yeah.
And I love that he brings this up, and it's kind of like hidden. The secret's kind of hidden within that. You can be busy all you want. A lot of people say, oh, I work hard. I work my tail off, da, da, da.
Yeah.
And we always say, but are you working smart?
Yeah, exactly.
Effective people work smart. It's not that they're not working hard. Mm. They're working hard and they're working smart. You could be working hard. I'm not taking someone who says they work hard. I don't take any of that away from you. But the goal is not who works the hardest. The goal is who works the smartest, tailed up with obviously the hard work. Because we always talk about hard work beats talent.
Yeah, exactly.
But we're in an era now where things are moving at a much rapid, more pace, and you have to be able to think on your toes. We hear the old classic saying, you know, survival of the fittest. You have to be proactive in the way you adapt to your environment. Yeah. You have to constantly be adapting, constantly changing, constantly molding, accepting the change and moving forward.
Absolutely.
You know, if, you know, for example, if somebody keeps ramming their head through the wall, right? And they're just ramming their head, the brick wall, and they're knocking themselves out. They're sweating, they're going crazy. Literally. And, you know, 5 feet next to them, someone keeps telling them, dude, there's a door right here. You can get through the other side. But his way is just going, he's like, no, I'm going to make my own, you know, entry by barging through it. Where the smart person will just walk through the door and just keep it moving. Again, that's not lazy. That's being smart. You could use those efforts.
Yeah.
For something else. You could use that energy for something else to, you know, build your empire. That's where people say, oh, X, Y, and Z has more time in a day than I, doesn't have more time in a day than I do, so why can't I execute? It's because they're working at a smarter pace. That's all it is.
Yeah.
It's not that it's like, dude, because I could work hard, but if I'm not working smart,
exactly,
there's only so many things I can do, and this, a lot of this comes into, and I don't want to get into it, but a lot of this gets into delegation.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
and that's what I was looking up earlier, because I haven't read the book myself, but I was looking up at least like more in-depth stuff of it, and it actually broke down like different parts of the day into, like, I guess that's where it comes from, the habit three, was they broke into the four different quadrants and the different different parts of, like, you know, how, like, third one was, it was like more efficiency stuff or whatever. Like the first, like, habit one was you're dealing with like extreme like crises and stuff like that, so more extreme stuff. So if you focus too much on that stuff, then you get stuck in the weeds, and you're too much focusing on too much and more of the negative stuff, as opposed to being more focused and more efficient on what you're trying to, your goal, what your plan is trying to be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and we talk about this all the time. It's you know, what you think about, you bring about, and we can get into that a little bit later, but depending on what you're focusing on, because again, going back to basically, you just piggyback on what you just said, you could be proactive. You could begin with the end of mind, but if you're proactive in the wrong things, then you're gonna go nowhere real fast.
Yeah.
And that's what they always talk about. It's like, you know,
having a lot of people think a real big goal is to have a lot of money, because then that'll change everything. Well, there's a famous comedian who says, he said, well, if you're an idiot, more money is just going to make you a bigger idiot.
Yeah.
So it's just magnifying who you exactly. really are. Yeah. That's what money does. It magnifies who you really are. Yeah. If you are smart with the little bit of money that you have now, then when you get a ton load of money, more than likely you're going to be smart. Yeah. I'm not saying that people don't mess up and make mistakes. I'm just saying more than likely you're going to be smart with a lot of money. I've known people who had no money and was sloppy with the no money that they had. They got a ton load of money, like a rainfall of money, and have nothing to speak or show for it. So it kind of goes along the same lines. Well, you weren't good with no money. What the heck made you think you were going to be good with a lot of money?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Just because you got a lot of money doesn't mean all of a sudden you're financially intelligent, because a lot of people win these earnings or whatever the reason is, or like inheritance and stuff like that. Yeah. It wasn't something that their brain developed.
Because I always said, like we always talked about if like preparedness and all stuff like that too. It's like if you're not prepared to even, like you said, like for the smaller stuff, there's no way in heck you're going to understand what it's even do if anything even like on a larger scale.
Exactly. Well said. All right, so we have habit number one, be proactive. Habit number two, begin with the end in mind. Habit number three, put first things first. And now habit number four, think win-win. Win-win is a time, win-win is a frame of mind and heart that constantly seeks mutual benefit in all human interactions. So this is very effective, because this makes me think you're not just effective in your own life, but now you're an effective person in someone else's life. Mm. So we're not just out to just basically, you know, eat people and things alive. Well, yes, it's get on your grind, get on the horse, do what you have to do. But when you're thinking win-win, you want everybody to win, obviously, absolutely. Right?
Yep.
It's not just you. It's like, you know, I want the people around me to also win. I want to, you know, that's why I want to put on everyone who's in my circle of influence to help them as much as they can, and vice versa. Exactly. It's not just like a, you know, one man thing. Like you shouldn't be the only guy in your group thinking win-win.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
You know what I mean? Like everybody in your group should be thinking, how can I help him out also? And so when that synergy, when that comes together, that's an explosive like relationship that can happen in a very positive and good way. For in most cases, because obviously, like I'm just thinking about the NBA playoffs are going right now. Like, where's your win-win? Like, obviously, somebody has to lose in that thing.
Yeah.
But if you're going deeper, you're thinking, you know, we made it to the playoffs. I want to win. But the thing is, we have these two teams who have been, you know, there's a third year in a row that they faced each other.
Yeah.
There's even if you just think that way, like we've won this many times.
Yeah.
Because that's just winning itself. Obviously, you want the title. But I'm just saying, if you could just think that way, like that's like a, you know, almost like a, I'll give you credit. Like they give each other props. This is, I guess, what I'm trying to say. It's like, I give you credit. You guys made it this far.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly.
That was my win-win. But now it's time for us to, you know, take over. There's a meme that I saw on Instagram where it said, when the parents act like adults, the kid always wins. And so it was a picture of a little girl on a soccer field. She's obviously a soccer player. It was like she had a game or whatever. And it was four adults, all with the little girl's last name on it. Mm. So obviously the parents split up, but then they found other spouses.
I saw that.
So they're all like on their knees, like they're all like kneeling down or whatever, like eye level with the girl, I guess, like cheering her on. She's running up and down the soccer field or whatever. That's thinking win-win. That's, you know, there's so many benefits that can come out of that. And, you know, that's, again, not to blanket people's relationships and stuff, but I'm just saying that's just a cool example of, you know, people working it out.
Yeah, you're putting the differences aside. Exactly.
Yes, absolutely. All right, so there you have it. Habit number four, think win-win. Habit number five, seek first to understand, then to be understood. He says the principle is key to effective interpersonal communication. So basically this is, you know, you have two ears and one mouth, on purpose. You know, you should listen twice as much as you talk. So the idea here is first try to understand what people are trying to say. Yeah. When you're in a conversation, try to get what they're saying, because sometimes I've done it myself. You get so excited, you want to make your point so bad that what you're saying is not even registering in their minds, because now they feel like you're not listening to them.
Yeah.
So exactly. Now they're just going to try to top you with something, and now no one's listening to each other. And again, that's ineffective communication. Yeah. If you want to be a highly effective person that Stephen R. Covey is talking about, this is one of them. It's listening, the communication, listening and talking. It's communicating effectively. But to communicate effectively, a great step is to understand and then to be understood.
Then actually respond properly.
Yeah, and actually respond. Yeah, so there's a lot
understand
of times.
Understand the response.
Yeah, there's a lot of times, well, we're in conversation, we're answering somebody for a question they didn't even ask.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or I'm trying to engage.
I know I have a bad habit of like conversations and I'm like filling in your blanks without even knowing what the heck you're talking about. Always try to to understand it. It's like, and it's a bad habit of mine. And I got to try and sit back and just listen to the person to understand them to get the right answer or to understand what they're talking about.
Right.
So, yeah, I definitely have a bad habit of that.
Yeah.
But in order to like open up that conversation or keep conversation going, you have to be able to, like I said, respond to actually what's being said to actually keep a conversation going. Because like other, like you said, it's just two random conversations and nobody's actually saying anything to each other.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there was like studies showing that people actually hate not having noise.
So they just say random things.
So yeah, so you just talk just so there's what? Not that so there's not that awkward silence.
Oh.
So when you're especially when you just met someone, maybe you're on a date for the first time or
awkward.
You're at a new facility, like a new job, and you're getting introduced to a lot of people, and you're just trying to keep a conversation just so it's not awkward. Right. But then in turn you're making it awkward because you're babbling a bunch of stuff and you're definitely not effectively communicating. Oh, this is what I was going to say. Being clear, making sure you're clear, you understand what they're saying.
Okay.
Because sometimes we misinterpret what they're saying. So that's that really to really understand the word understood.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Understand what she's saying. And I'm saying she because me and my wife just did this over a text message. You know how text messages come through? I can read it one way, but she's texted it. Well, the way she was texting it, her intentions was something else.
Yeah.
So I'm coming home thinking one thing. She came home thinking another thing, and we're like talking about it. I'm like, no, that's not what I said. Like, yeah, it is what you said. Like, no, that's not what I said. She's like, yo, that's like literally what I said, but that's not what I meant.
Yeah.
And right. So now try to understand what they meant. So that's where it's clarification. So if you don't understand, ask for clarification. Let's be clear about this.
Well, yeah. Questions obviously is the best way to clarify because if you just assume, like, that's what emojis help out. But I know.
That's true. Emojis do help out a lot.
No, but yeah, you're assuming the, like,
emoji. If you could think of emojis as clarification.
Wait, I was gonna well I'll say if you clarify the emotion behind it, but obviously I guess emojis do kind of help that because they put some kind of weird
well
they do
emotion
because
to
you
it.
Could put the motion like the I guess like the specific face they're making, like the frown or whatever it is, you, makes you understand what they're actually saying, like how they're
being
type,
goofy,
their tone
they're being
voice.
angry, they're being like so I mean it is there, it does have a purpose, I guess.
Yeah,
or like
I
when
mean,
their face is
for
green.
So see, since written word is you reading it with no has no emotion, but you add it to yourself depending on how you, like you said, how you are feeling at that moment.
Right.
Right.
Man, can you imagine? You man, this is. Can you imagine? I just read something somewhere about artificial intelligence and stuff, and they're talking about basically to the level where devices will be implanted in us, and you're basically texting someone like in your mind, and they receive your text.
Oh.
How bizarre would that be? Like, we're all at dinner and like these two people are like having text conversations and like weird stuff. Like, how weird is that?
But that's bizarre. I mean, obviously, that's
like, you could tell by their face though. They're like,
I don't know how
so that text, so they're reading it or hearing it, and like you show your face is doing the emoji.
Yeah,
the
I don't know how real that is, but it's just wild.
I mean, that might be a generation beyond us, but I mean, it's definitely, like, that's essentially where we're going. Everything's interconnected now anyway. It's just a matter of it being a part of, like, your biology at some point.
So, the sixth habit, synergize. He says, synergy is the essence of principle-centered leadership. It catalyzes, unifies, and unleashes the greatest powers within people. So synergize.
Well, I mean, that's kind of like, it's... It is like everybody's on the same page. Everybody's on in unison in terms of a common goal, a common mindset. And that's what like everybody like it's, that kind of goes with the win-win situation, where it's like everybody's on the same page and going towards the same idea, and they're working on the same thing, even though they may not be doing the same exact part of whatever the goal, the plan or the goal is, but everybody's mindset is at least the end goal is the same, if that makes any sense.
Yes. Yes. It's the camaraderie, beyond the camaraderie.
Yes.
It's the actual connection and the working together, as you're saying, the working together through this effective communication, this win-win thinking. It's that level of synergy, right? So it's like, yeah, we're working together with other people, but effective people work together in this synergized way on a much higher level. You know what I'm saying? So the frequency that they're operating at is on a whole other level. That's why they say you equaled out to the five closest people around you, because you guys are generating an energy, a combination of you. So all five of you, let's just say it's five people, you know, are generating an energy. Even in basketball, we have, you know, who's your starting five? Those starting five have some level of, they call chemistry.
Yeah.
Oh, they have a chemistry. Guys, we're talking about the same thing. They're just using a different word. In personal development, you know, we say that we're operating at the same frequency.
Yeah,
right. As I mentioned this example before, but I'll mention it again for new listeners or people who didn't catch it. If you could think about us operating on the same frequency, it's kind of like the radio stations.
Yes.
So over here, we're in the Philadelphia region. They have 98.9 is like a hip-hop and R&B kind of station. Then you have like a 92.5, which is like a country station. Let's just use those two for example. No matter how bad you want to listen to hip-hop and R&B, if you're not tuned in to... If you're tuned into 92.5, you'll never hit it. So you're just not at that frequency. It's not that you don't want it. It's just you're not at that level.
Yeah.
So if you're at 98.9, obviously that's the... So if you could think about if everyone's operating on that same frequency, that same station, the vibe is going to be so much cooler, right? So I'm not talking about, you know, like new age music. You're not talking about rap and hip hop, and he's not talking about country. So the conversation could be all over the place. I'm not even going to know what artist he's talking about. You're not going to know what, you know, songs I'm talking about. But if we're all talking about the same, you know, hip hop and R&B or country, then we all know what's going on. So that is what I'm talking about. So when we're operating, it's not just synergy that to the level of like we have a connection with them.
Yeah,
it's operating on that higher playing field.
And I was thinking too, since this is like the last, I guess not the last step, but the second last step, was that like when I was looking up too, it broke up the chapters into two different sections where like the first three are the independence. You're trying to find out what kind of person you are, how you work. Like you said, like trying to find out your paradigms and all that stuff. And the last three, which is mainly, like you said, like the win-win situations, the seek the first. And now the synergy is the interdependence. And that's where that leads to where you're understanding that you understand who you are. But then now you're vibing with people who understand who they are, and that's when you all work together to that common goal, and that's where you can really be effective.
Yes, because everyone's using their strengths.
Yes.
So there's keys to the department, like perfect examples like the hospital, like, you know, like there's a, you know, the radiology department, we have the nursing department, we have you know, even like the administrative levels. This is only a few examples, but anyway, you got the medical records department, right?
Yeah.
Everyone is really good at what they do. They're specialized fields. And when you put them all together, you have a very successful operating hospital. So all these departments put together is what makes the hospital effective and, you know, a top-notch hospital. But if you had a bunch of miscommunicating departments and not being, you know, synergistic in their ways of operations, then obviously, it's not going to be the best hospital for you to go to. So the last one, the last habit is sharpen the saw. And he says, it's preserving and enhancing the greatest asset you have, you. It's renewing the four dimensions of your nature, physical, spiritual, mental, and social/emotional. Again, we talk about this all the time. You have to constantly, we basically inadvertently talked about it earlier, talking about you have to constantly adapt. You have to constantly change. Yeah. Yeah. Keep sharpening your tool. Knowledge is power. Applied knowledge is power, is how I always say.
And always trying to be the best version of yourself.
And always trying to be the best version of yourself. Absolutely. Actually, there's a book. Speaking of that, I haven't said this in a while. There's a book titled Dream Manager by Matthew Kelly. Scoop that up. That's where the whole, you know, become the best version of yourself came from. That's where I got it from anyway. With that being said, so here you have the seventh habit, sharpening your tool, which it really does tie everything together. Mm-hmm. So the bigger group of effective, you know, to be an effective person, when you look at yourself in your group, mm-hmm. if everyone is sharpening the saw, that means the organization is going to continue to progress and move forward. As I said earlier,
yeah.
think about the progression, not perfection. It's all about taking that step. Even as we also mentioned earlier, we're talking about you might have reflected and then you went back and took action. It might not have been the right direction, but you took some level of action. So now you have to step back again and then obviously make your adjustments.
Yeah, absolutely.
These are all definitely seven habits to become an effective person. Number one, just to review, be proactive. Number two, begin with the end in mind. Number three, put first things first. Number four, think win-win. Number five, seek first to understand, then to be understood. Number six, synergize. And number seven, sharpen the saw. So there you have it, guys. There's a reason why this was a number one national bestseller in the 80s with over 10 million copies sold. The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, Powerful Lessons in Personal Change, and Powerful Lessons in Personal Change by Stephen R. Covey. That is something, topics we're talking about that were published here 30 years ago, and he probably got the contents from 30 years prior to that. Obviously, it was through his experience, too, because he did a lot of corporate training and things like that. But out of these seven, what would you guys say is, you know, your favorite one, and why?
Begin with the end of mind.
End in mind.
Just because it's something that you should always have something, like the... something in the end, like you have, like a goal, pretty much, like yeah. you were saying, like you should always have something set to look forward to, no matter how long it takes you or what steps it's going to take you to get there.
Exactly.
You should always have that. Everyone should have something, some sort of goal set.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because obviously, you know, you ain't going to get nowhere.
Right.
So that's just my favorite.
So what's yours, Gabe?
Well, I was thinking like the, I was thinking like the win-win, because it's always mutually benefit for everybody, like who always trying to I guess it's kind of a combination with the win-win and the sharpen your tool, because if you're always trying to strive to be better, you're always going to be working towards bettering the group yeah. or whatever your group, your interpersonal group is going to be.
Yeah, no, I agree. My two is just, it would always be this. It would never be one. Is begin with the end of mind and sharpen the soul. Mm. Just because to me, that's, I'm always talking about constantly progressing and becoming a better version of yourself.
Yeah.
If you're becoming a better version of yourself, you know where you're headed and you're constantly developing who you are as a person. And I feel like it starts with us. If I can work on me, instead of everyone always trying to fix everything and everyone else, work yeah. on yourself, right? Yeah. Work on yourself. Obviously, I need all seven of these, but if I were to pick absolutely. Like the ones that I love and I relate to the most, is just like, I love that because it also simplifies yeah. a lot of things that we like to complicate life. Yeah. Although this thing we do here, breathing and inhaling and exhaling here, this is a complicated thing, but it doesn't have to be. It's not easy. It's what they call simple.
Yeah.
Overcomplicate things.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you just look at these seven basic habits, there's no reason why one person didn't work on all seven of these and could not be an effective person in society and actually help society. Which one would you guys say is the one you probably need the most work in?
Being proactive, I would say.
Yeah.
Because I know, I sometimes become fickle with certain circumstances, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I can start something and I'll be, like, hardcore into it, and then, like, oh, then it's on to the next, like, oh, I need right. to do this, whatever, right. as opposed to, like, you know, sticking with it for a while and, you know, make an actual habit out of it, and as opposed to not just going on to the, oh, next thing is going to help me or whatever it is, if that makes
yeah.
any sense.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I think for me, it kind of goes along the lines of what you're saying. It would be put first things first.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I say that is, it's not that I'm terrible in like organizing like my life, but I get this like some level of not boredom, but just if something's just like, okay, I just jump from one thing to another, it would all eventually get done. Like so I finish what I have to finish, but it's like, it's so all over the place. Like I'll clean the house and do, you know, yard work, but I'll come inside for, you know, lunch. And then here I am like washing dishes in the middle. And then I go back outside and there I'm raking up and planting seeds and stuff. It's like, what? It's just all over the place.
Yeah. I would have to agree with you on that. That's how I am. It's like when I start something, like my sister-in-law said the one time, she's like, when I see you cutting grass, you look like you're everywhere, but at the end result, it looks beautiful. Because it's like my head, that's where I'm at. Like I'm like going up and down. There's no specific reason or rhyme for what I'm doing. Because I do get sidetracked.
But somehow
when it's done, it's all done and it looks clean and the yard is done.
Yeah, it's a good example.
The way my yard is, you know, I have to cut through down the center. And they're like, why are you going through the center instead of going the up and down? And I have this thing stuck in my head on how I'm doing it. And when it's done,
So there is a rhyme or reason.
Well, yeah, there
like
is.
Your
yeah.
own like little methodology. I do the same thing. Same thing my wife called me up. She's like, you like started over here, didn't finish, but you ended up over here. Then 20 minutes later, I see you going back and forth in front of the house again.
Yeah.
And I had my reasoning for that. I didn't want to cut the grass in the same angle that I cut it the week before.
Right.
Well, they tell you not to.
Oh, okay.
Because it's bad for the grass. So if you cut it at a different angle, it's, you know, it's growing level, I should say.
Okay.
But anyway, so that was my thing. But if you didn't know what I was doing, it looks nuts. Like what I was trying to accomplish. And then the other thing is, for anyone who has the bags, the lawnmowers with the bags, you know that probably after midway point, some of the shavings start spitting out.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
So I cut one side of like the front of my house like first because that's going to be the cleanest look.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I do around those edges first because it's going to have the less shavings. And then when you get to the middle, it's okay that it has shavings. It still has around the perimeter and it looks like all clean or whatever. I don't know. That sounds really weird, but.
No, I know what you're saying.
But yeah, so that's another thing that I do. So if you come over and I'm in the middle of cutting my grass, you'll see all my edges perfectly done. Not my edges, but like the borders of my property done. And then I'll get to the middle.
Okay.
I don't know.
That makes sense because I guess sometimes you have like a driveway, you're still like. Like some places you see grass all over the driveway.
Yeah, exactly. That means they ended there.
Yeah, you have to come back with like a snowblower or whatever it is, a leaf blower.
Yeah. Snowblower for the grass.
Exactly. So there you have it, folks. If you want to be effective, we have our 7 habits. Again, I'll just review them one more time. Habit number 1, be proactive. Habit number 2, begin with the end in mind. Habit number 3, put first things first. Habit number 4, think win-win. Habit number 5, seek first to understand and then to be understood. Habit number 6, synergize. Habit number 7, sharpen the saw. 7 habits of highly effective people. So we're going to wrap this episode up with 2 quotes from the author himself. He says, habits are powerful factors in our lives because they are consistent, often unconscious patterns. They constantly, daily express our character and produce our effectiveness or ineffectiveness. And the second quote goes, I personally struggle with much of what I have shared in this book. But the struggle is worthwhile and fulfilling. It gives meaning to my life and enables me to love, to serve, and to try again. So there you have it, folks. Highly effective people. In this episode, we review Stephen R. Covey's classic book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Covey presents a holistic, integrated, principle-centered approach for solving personal and professional problems. Covey reveals a step-by-step pathway for living with fairness, integrity, honesty, and human dignity. The crew discusses their take on each habit, including their strengths and weaknesses for each one. We wrap the episode up with quotes from the author himself, Stephen R. Covey. Thanks again for joining us. Guys, don't forget to visit the website, JimmyLeeVelez.com. Follow the blog. If you have any inquiries or questions you would like for us to answer on a future episode, just email us at info@JimmyLeeVelez.com. And on behalf of myself and the rest of the crew, we wish you massive success. And until next time, adios.
The Rotated Views podcast was produced for self-development purposes. Thank you for the love and support. We truly do hope you enjoyed the views.